Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Gigantic.
Hey, it is July 26th, 2024. SmackDown's pre-taped this week. You already know what's going on. It's Gigantic Pop. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Raj Geary and Matt Morgan. And here we are, gents, the three of us together again. What's going on?
2 weeks in a row.
I know. It's becoming a habit. lots of NBA news. We got stuff to talk about. CM Punk. Like, I feel like this podcast... Like CM Punk has been, we have never stopped talking about CM Punk on this show every week. CM Punk's doing something now. Maybe he's renegotiating his deal. And then Drew McIntyre, proving he's the master troll, posts this photo of Jungle Boy yesterday, deletes it a few hours later, but holy shit. Like, right? Like they just happened to get that shot out together?
No. I mean, the two people I would never suspect is seen near each other because the two companies don't intertwine, you know what I mean, schedule-wise usually. So for that reason, no. But once I saw, I was like, that makes total sense. This is something right up Drew's alley for being a major league troller, and he's the best on the planet. I was thinking about this, Raj. If you had a name, with WWE being as hot as it is right now, between all the good things that's going on in that company, between Cody's championship run, Jacob Fatu, the bloodline, Roman potentially coming back, the CM Punk feud with Drew. If you had to think to yourself, who's been an MVP? And I'm sitting there going, how could I not say that Drew McIntyre isn't the MVP of WWE? Seriously. He keeps this story moving with limited to zero angle moving and catching more fire and torching it more and a little bit more without them having to. Incredibly impressive. And as good as Punk's promos are, Drew's the MVP, my opinion right now. And that's what Seth Rollins being back to, by the way, in my opinion.
A match yet, really, outside of the Rumble.
Right?
You know? So it's pretty wild how hot this feud has been without them, you know, really doing much as far as actual physicality goes. You know, it's interferences and promos, and it's been awesome. I feel like it's been probably the best feud of the year outside of maybe Roman and Cody, if you count that. But Cody, I think the Rock kind of stepped on that a little bit and took away from the Roman aspect. So I'd argue that Drew and CM Punk has been the hottest WWE feud this year.
And Glenn, to Raj's point on that, the Mania match, which, you know, obviously Cody winning the championship, there was some reality spliced in there of him finally winning the big belt, right? The big championship. But the reality that Drew McIntyre just continues to Molotov cocktail throw It's just the best. I love it. I love it.
I mean, this for Drew is that example about how in this modern age can you use social media to get over, to advance storylines and build yourself. And I would say that, look, I've been a fan of Drew ever since he came back to WWE, but man, it's like, I think right now compared to a year ago, his stock has risen massively because in a weird way, he's out CM Punk'd CM Punk with his ability to blur the lines and tell this story.
That's a good way to put it, actually. Yeah.
And obviously Punk and Drew are working together, and I'm sure Drew got Punk's blessing to do that. 100%. But man, it was so great.
He deleted the photo and he was talking about Colt Cabana, and
that's why.
Wait, has Drew talked about Colt Cabana?
Didn't Drew make a Colt reposted the photo. But what I'm saying is, even Drew being with Jack Perry, I mean, that's like, that's second to Colt Cabana in the CM Punk enemies list. I mean, why isn't Drew talking to Tony Khan while he's at it?
I think
he would if he could, if he saw him. He doesn't care. He gives no F's. I love it.
I mean, Punk makes references to, you know, choking out Jack Perry and being in backstage fights. So it's clear that's a line he's fine with to cross. Colt Cabana's not one. That's why Drew has not brought up Colt Cabana once.
I'm going to give you an interesting theory about why that photo was taken down. I don't think it was Drew McIntyre or WWE. I think it was Tony Khan and Jack Perry that were like, hey, don't do this. Don't be the side character in another company's hot rivalry.
Tony is such a hard-on for WWE. I just read something today, not to side tangent here, but I will just really quickly, I promise, guys. I just read somewhere about Tony continuing the WWE nonsense, saying that WWE PR, that's what he says, WWE PR specifically continues to create this narrative that their TV deals and, you know, is just average or just okay. You know, why does WWE care so much about our TV deal and stuff? It's like, dude, get over yourself. They don't give a fuck about you and your company, except for when your talents are up and if they match their roster and they're a good fit, then they're going to become in the WWE. That's about it, though. That's the extent of it. They're not worried about you guys, so stop.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the big thing this week, is there was a report that AEW and WBD had a renewal, and that WBD renewed AEW, and that the deal was basically similar to their old one. And anyways, it came out, or Tony Khan came out and said, that's not true. Him and WBD, they're still talking. It hasn't happened yet. We know all the stuff going on with the NBA, and we can talk about that here in a second. But Tony Khan basically saying they don't have a deal. It's like nothing has really changed over the last, you know, a few weeks outside of their talking. Tony Khan says he expects a big deal. But yes, he did blame WWE PR for getting that out.
So like, again, the company is so busy doing real work, doing real things. Like Tony does not promote. I mean, yes, he goes on the air and he does a good job of saying AEW tonight, Dynamite, da, 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 in his interviews, but he should not be the interviewee. He should not be. It should be his superstars or his wrestlers doing it. And I just watched him on Rich Eisen the other day. I'm like, why are you? I wrote in the comment section, why are you on here? Where are your wrestlers?
Yeah, it feels like you don't see MJF doing that much, media. He does some, but
and
very
so
little compared
good at it. And he's so talented at it while being a dick. He's so good at it.
Yeah, I agree. And Swerve, why isn't he out
Swerve
there?
Swerve, you know, he's the really good. Actually, I've been watching someone who won the title. I watched a bunch of his interviews the day after, the week after. He's an exceptional interview, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like Tony's afraid of the questions they're going to get asked. Like if they're going to get asked about, you know, like the WWE being hot or, you know, or something with CM Punk. But it seems like since the whole CM Punk thing happened, the first fight, he has really cut down on wrestlers doing media.
The timeline matches, actually.
Which, I mean, it's kind of funny, though, given that there has been no shortage of WWE talent executives being asked tough questions about the Vince situation and things like that. Like, what's Tony Khan? I mean, out of left field, tough questions facing him than WWE does.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, I think it's just I don't know. He's it's funny because how open AEW used to be with the media back in the day, like early on, you know, you could ask anything. We interviewed Tony Khan on Wrestling Inc., you know, and Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and Omega, and he's completely shut that down.
So, cut you off. Sorry, Raj. I was going to say, is the other thing he said in that Rich Eisen interview is the Rich Eisen network, but it wasn't Rich Eisen doing the interview, for what it's worth. But the guy, the interviewer, I forget his name, but he asked the question to Tony. He goes to him really quick. He goes, what does he say? He goes, that when Meltzer put that out there, that they couldn't, was it, sell 10,000 seats or some shit like that for, you know, Ring of Honor show. Cody took the dare, took the bet, and that ended up becoming the beginning of what eventually became AEW. Tony's like, oh, I'm so glad you said that. Because Tony says that with every question that he's asked, by the way. He goes, this is such a great question. Ah, great question. That's a great question. He is like three different ways he says the same sentence. Every question. Well, like, Tony, you're tipping your hand that that's your thinking question. So you're using the transition to collect your thoughts before you give an answer. It's so obvious. Stop doing it. That's why he should not be doing interviews, by the way. Yes. I went to school for communications. One of the things we learn in public speaking class. And everybody has them, but his tell is so obvious. It's, oh, that's a really good question. I'm so glad you asked me that. And he goes, and he tries to change the narrative by saying, because a lot of people have always thought that's how it went, but that's not really how it goes. Like, I've been wanting to do AEW. Like, I went to the head of TNT like 6 months before that or something. He said something like that. So he tried to like change the narrative and get him in there a little bit more in the beginning of the genesis of AEW versus, no, you saw a sold out arena in Chicago. Everybody wanted to see. It was the hottest thing in the business that year. Everybody was flocking to want to go get a ticket or see it on pay-per-view. And it was a mass monster success, showing that everybody wants to see another cable television company. And then you came in because you're the guy with the money. So like, he's trying to act like he was before Cody and the Bucks getting this set up. Get the hell out of here, Tony.
It is better than when he goes, that's a great question. Unfortunately, I can't talk about that right now.
Yes. Yes. That's true. That is true. I didn't want to bask because when we get into AEW today, I actually wanted to give Tony his flowers, believe it or not, on a couple of angles that I've been really liking. So,
yeah, same.
You know what you should do, Matt, is you should track down Tony's number or email and just say like, hey, as someone that worked in wrestling and as a communications major, I have some notes for you.
You guys watch it in politics. When you see somebody just being interviewed by like the mainstream press, you just know they're full of shit. And they have that transitional sentence or transitional phrase or that transitional question that they say in every single interview. And it's such a tell that you're not being you're not being genuine right now. And you're using it as a, to collect your thoughts, to come up with the bullshit you're about to spout.
That's an excellent point, Matt. Astute observation.
And the one thing right now is he keeps saying they're getting a big increase. And if that's coming, you got to wonder why it hasn't happened. And I do think they will get an increase, you know, with WBD, but WBD has this stuff with the NBA right now. The NBA, you know, took the Amazon offer. WBD had the right to try to match it, even though technically they can't, like, just their reach, they just can't match it. But they matched it monetarily.
Nice to hear you, Glenn.
Glenn, you're freezing.
Okay, now we're all good. I don't know, my connection switched. I'm hardwired, by the way. Oh, there
it's all good. Wait, I'm so confused, Raj. I thought that WBD was getting TNT on the smallest package.
No, so they matched it monetarily, and then the NBA said, no, it's not the same as the Amazon package because Amazon's all streaming. They have a bigger service.
Huh.
So we're taking the Amazon offer, and then today WBD filed suit against the NBA. So it's going to go to court.
Because the deal, I mean, to be fair to WBD, to them, and to everybody that followed this, including you, I imagine, Raj, thought that if they matched it, that's all they had to do. And then here they match it, and now they're pulling the rug. The NBA is pulling the rug out from under them. They should sue them.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, is Amazon a much better deal for the NBA just based on their reach than the combination of TNT and Max. Or
but that's
is
not
WBD.
That wasn't in the equation, though. And the equation was if WBD had the right to match, and if they could match it financially, they have to come back to WBD,
It was just to match. It didn't necessarily say financially. And that's where it gets that's where the lawsuit comes in, because the NBA is saying they can't match the reach. You know, they get way more viewers on Amazon. They'll be on more countries. And so it's a much bigger deal. Plus, when renewals come up, Amazon is going to be able to offer a much bigger renewal than WBD. And WBD, who knows where they'll be in 5 years. So, they're already talking about now. They're talking about breaking it up into separate companies, putting linear TV and all the debt in one, and then Max and the movies on another.
Okay.
And so it's just a big mess right now.
Man, I don't know how you follow all this. That's pretty good information that you just gave everybody.
Yeah. It's a lot.
So,
Glenn, you froze up again, buddy.
Oh, did I? You can't see me?
Yeah.
That's why I was trying to kiss you on the cheek. Oh. Look at those cute little cheeks. I want to pinch those cheeks.
Bane of my existence, my entire life with the women, with pinching the cheeks ever since I was a kid. And it's a weird time for media. I mean, look at media stocks this week. Look at the trajectory of how things are going. Like, it's things are a little unclear right now.
Yeah, yes, WBD is down 70% over like the last 5 years. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. So
real quick about CM Punk, we move on, I did want to mention there was an incorrect report that was on Wrestling Observer Radio. Dave Meltzer had stated that.
Shocking.
There are some reports earlier before that Meltzer that Punk is trying to renegotiate his deal. And then Dave Meltzer said that, well, Punk actually had only signed a short-term deal last year. And it's coming up, and so they're trying to work out a new deal. And PW Insider reported that's not true. That's not what happened. CM Punk had actually signed a multi-year deal, and so his contract isn't coming up anytime soon. He's got years left on it. The only thing is, he's been such a success with merch and his angles that they want to come up with a new deal from WWE side. They want a new deal for Punk to get him more involved and even bigger deal. So,
bro, Meltzer could not wait to try to debunk that and try to prove it wrong and shit on it, because he was in a minor way, a little bit, right? A part of Punk's eventual exit from AEW. And the way they constantly made him look like a heel, and after choosing sides when that fight happened and whatever. But end of the day, smart on WWE. That guy's making a ton of money. Whether people like him or not, everybody talks about him. And that's the best thing, best place you could possibly be in the wrestling business.
Yeah. And so, yeah, PW Insider saying that they're just kind of with an even better deal. They said, it sounds like this was a text that they sent to PW Insider on why they're coming up with a new deal with Punk when they already have years left on this existing deal. They said new world, huge numbers, merch and social. So Punk has obviously been a big boon to them.
Good. I was scared for my life. Will never stop haunting that company. That's going to be the Babe Ruth. The curse of the Bambino for the Red Sox when they traded away a pitcher named Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees and went on to become the GOAT. Obviously, CM Punk was already a major star. Obviously, I'm not saying he wasn't, but what a bumble. What a bumble move.
Put that in the PS, Matt, in your email to Tony Khan, that not only will you coach him on communications, but you will be his personal bodyguard to make sure he never fears for his life ever again. It's such a weird, like, dude, like, who's trying to kill TK? Like,
especially if you watch that video, it's like, oh, man, why would you release that footage when you've said that you feared for your life?
Yes, because by him saying that, you had a huge segment of audience that the best way to get something over is to let the fans imagine what that something was, right? Mm-hmm. And so like the way he explained it, it made it sound like this guy was like, you know, had him in a chokehold and was like, quit, Tony, tap. I want to see you tap or you're going to die. Like, you know, he made it sound like he legit was trying to kill him. And then, like, by grace of God, he squirmed his way out of the scenario somehow and lived to tell it, you know, lived to tell another tale later. But, like, by showing that video, like you guys said, that was so stupid. Now we saw him hit the monitors and Punk yell at him. He feared for his life. You're in the wrong business, dude, if that made you fear for your life.
Do you think we've lost something societally? Think about growing up, all the great stories and legends and lore, not only of entertainment, but even our personal lives.
In books, especially reading books, fiction books. Yes, absolutely.
But think about growing up, Matt, like, well, this story of the front, like, oh my God, you should have seen it. And he was did this. And it was like so crazy. And whatnot. It's like, if we'd had video of all of those incidents to watch back, I guarantee you 99 out of 100 would be like, man, that wasn't as impressive
Going back to Babe Ruth, there's historians that say, Mighty Bambino called his shot. A lot of historians try to say that's an exaggeration, that it was something else, and people just mistook it as him calling his, something weird like that. It's not like, wasn't so like pronounced that he got up to home plate and like, and pointed as hard as he could to the, you know, just a minor example of back in the day, they didn't have, you know, camera phones and crap like that. So everybody's imaginations can run wild. How great, you know, Mickey Mantle was, or I know I keep sticking to baseball, but other sports and other world events as well.
Yeah.
Even WWF, if you remember, with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, which was one of the most famous backstage fights. And you ask wrestlers that were there, like Ron Simmons. Ron Simmons was like, they're just pulling each other's hair and we went to their ground. It was like nothing.
Yeah, true. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly. The Monday Night Wars documentary is a great example of this. Like, all that DX stuff looks great on clips, but if you go back and watch that entire episode, it's like, this didn't really age well. I don't know that it even went over at the time as great as they're making it seem.
And I always thought there was a huge drop off between, I told you, I was a Nitro guy first, Raw guy second, when it was at its peak. Like, Raw is who we'd go to during commercials, and we flip it to that channel. But unless like Stone Cold came out. But what I was gonna say is, like, even DX, I thought they were like, the jokes were corny back then in college. I remember thinking, like, why does everybody think, okay, I get the whole suck it thing, that's funny, ha ha ha. But at the same time, like, I always thought like NWO was so much cooler than them. I always thought that.
Yeah. So the CM Punk thing, I think he's in a pretty good situation. And he could end up, speaking of HBK, CM Punk could take over NXT one day in his semi-retirement.
And hire one Glenn Rubenstein to be his head writer. I think it's the match made in heaven.
Start sucking up now, Glenn.
Yeah, and I'll say things like, okay, so hear me out on this. What if this week no matches, all storyline?
Vince Russo did that. Vince Russo did that 1 year on episode of Heat. They had no matches. It was all just segments.
NXT's, I mean, they've been pretty good. They've actually eased up a little bit on some of the storyline stuff lately in favor of more matches, but it's so stacked right now. And then they're trying to accommodate TNA talent. They're signing more female talent, like high level female talent that could end up going to the main roster. Like, it's a really abundance of riches right now in NXT.
I agree.
You know, still my favorite show week in and week out.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, me bagging it for as long as I did, I, you know, got to eat crow because I've been watching it since, God, I'd say the last 4 months, five months regularly. It's got me glued. I like it.
Yeah. And Joe Hendry, oh my God. Like, this is just insane when you think about the level of over that he is right now in wrestling as a whole. I mean, this is the example, and it's like, you know, I'm not saying that anyone else has failed, but I think he has set a new standard for what you can do. Even the fact that he bought those billboards on his own outside Clash of the Castle, like, talk about betting on yourself. I mean, this should be the inspiration. You should have, you know, I think a year from now, we're going to see the ripple effects of this.
I agree with that. I think that's a great call. Zack Ryder did it back in the day with the True Island story, getting himself over via, you know, his internet show. And then people started doing their own stuff on social media a little bit more, if you remember, and started having their own shows. And then just with technology, I still think we're behind the curve in wrestling when it comes to using technology to intertwine, to get yourselves over. Now I think we're at a much better place. But like Joe Hendry, like, if you're that kind of talent where you can sing and play music like the way he does, and he's good, and he's got an amazing, he's got such a great quip. He's so quick-witted. Like his songs he sings, I'm sure you guys have seen this on YouTube. Like, hey, definitely go down the Joe Hendry rabbit hole. It's worth it because it is. It is worth it. Hours and hours. I'll go through it.
And with the YouTube algorithm, it picks the next one. You're like, all right, one more. One more.
And Raj, like, this week.
If you guys get a chance, go back and watch it all, because I'm sure you have, but they show all of his other stuff from overseas of bagging on whoever, like the guest WWE star, former WWE stars that's wrestling against him that night. He's so good at it. He's so talented. And I think you're right, Glenn. It's going to lead to other talents finding other inventive and creative ways to get themselves over. And like you said, I know it's an overused phrase, but betting on themselves more.
Yeah.
And I just hope we don't get a bunch of Joe Hendry copycats. Like, people come up with their own shtick as opposed to, you know.
But it could be something like that. Because if you were to tell me, because we've seen others try to sing and get themselves over singing, and it never works. It's usually a heat seeker is usually what it is. If somebody's being a heel, then it works. But I'm not somebody like this as a baby face and creatively mocking your opponent like that. Your opponent has to be cool with you making fun of them like that. Cena did it through raps with the Dr. Thugonomics, was very talented at it, got him over. But what I'm saying is, Glenn and Raj, not do the exact same thing, but something as far as way out the box like that. Not the same thing, but far out the box that nobody's thinking of right now. Because right now, nobody was thinking of somebody doing what Joe Hendry's doing right now. No way. Not like this.
I agree.
Well, you know who has the right to be pissed is AJ Francis, Top Dollar, because on SmackDown, he was in feuds and he was recording rap songs, dissing his opponents, shooting music videos, posting them on Twitter, while an active member of the roster featured on TV, and WWE never even paid attention or echoed this or even recognized that he was going above and beyond to build these feuds.
Were they funny? Okay. I never saw those videos. They were good. Okay.
He did have some backstage heat as well, so that could be part of it.
Yeah, it's interesting though. It does show you though sometimes how a company can be oblivious to one thing, but then you catch the right person on the right day or something. I mean, Joe Hendry, those did catch fire on their own. WWE yes. had no choice but to recognize
yes,
it. But let me ask you this.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Raj. Here we are now. Another week has gone by. The Rascals pinned Fraxium, the NXT Tag Team Champions, in the yep. main event of NXT. Mm-hmm. Joe Hendry is one of the centerpieces of what they're showcasing when they're on Sci-Fi for Great American Bash Part 1. Still, you think WWE has no official business interest or plans in the works to put a ring on it with TNA?
No, again, because of the reasons okay. we've discussed.
Okay. Just because I'm telling you, this is...
The lawsuit that they were hit with that Conley, and then the judge said the settlement wasn't even big enough. And so they're still, even after the two sides settled, they're still going through it. I think again that's why WWE is working with so many other companies, so they can't look like a monopoly, and they don't want to look like they don't want to be buying their competition.
I mean, but okay.
And do you think MLW is just going to spend token some of that money to look like, oh yeah, we're investing in MLW, and then Court Bauer is going to be off on an island somewhere? Or do you think they're going to use it to actually boost MLW now?
I mean, they were signing guys like Riddle and, you know,
that was
like higher price stars.
I think he'll do right by the company. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see it.
He took.
Yeah, it was. I agree. I want MLW to succeed.
Yeah.
You can tell that's his passion. It's his passion.
Yeah.
Real quick.
More competition is a good thing. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Oh, so a couple quick news hits. Bobby Lashley and MVP are gone. They're heading out of WWE. Which, okay. man, you know, Lashley, I gotta say, like, Vince knew how to use him the best.
He did.
He was pushed the best under Vince.
He did. He
just never had that same traction under Triple H.
God bless him, too. Bobby's my age. I'm 47. I think Bob's a couple years younger than me. I always thought he was maybe 45. Do we know his age? He's got to be 40-something.
He's our age, or pretty close to it.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. And he's so impressive looking. God, look, the guy never ages. So he's done a great job when he came back to WWE this last go. Thank you. This last go around, he's put aside a lot of millions of dollars, and he's not going to be worried or struggling. He'd do whatever he wants. In fact, when he went back to WWE, he could pretty much financially do whatever he wanted at that time too, because he made so much money over the years. So just happy for how his career turned out for him, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I think he'll be in the Hall of Fame one day too. One day, you never know.
And now you got Lashley, MVP, and Shelton Benjamin, all free agents. So you could always restart the Hurt Business or
but here's my problem with that is AEW is too frigging full as it is. They have too many people. They can't get them on television. Now, would I have them there instead of a lot of these, like, no offense, these ham and egg sandwiches that they have there that aren't always on TV and they every 6 months get on TV somehow? And I'm not talking about like Wardlow. He's a superstar. He needs to be on TV every damn week. I'm not talking about, formerly Vance Archer. He should be on television every week. He'll always be Lance Hoyt to me. Sorry. And some others. But I'm talking about like the indie guys that like had their shot when AEW first started. They were on TV a lot. No offense. They didn't do anything with that opportunity. They didn't help grow the brand or their own fandom for themselves, and they're just taking up roster spots at this slot at this point. Tony needs to do another round of cuts to make room for people like this that could be used sparingly to help get over your AEW homegrown talents.
This was going to start as a joking reference to Control Your Narrative, but seriously though, but like, why doesn't EC3 or, I mean, Matt, you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, why has nobody said, let's do like a wrestling league, but it is the big guys, none of these, and make that the selling point. This is an indie 5'9" and a buck and a half cruiserweights. Like, this is big meaty men slapping meat, the league.
Because the big, when you say big, you mean big stars, right?
No, I mean, big guys with big stature. Yeah, physically imposing, like old school meat and potatoes professional wrestlers.
I mean, is that NWA a little bit or not really?
I mean, even
they were kind of like that for a while. You don't have that many big guys really, you know, anymore. Like not enough to run the league.
Well, there's not enough big men. There you go, Matt.
No, big men you could, you know, run a league with.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. I mean, it's just a thought. Is Control Your Narrative completely dead now?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Because he's the NWA champion, or at least he was.
Yeah. Okay. Just curious. I like the idea that they were going to charge fans to sit in a room and yell at a wrestler for 5 minutes. That had so much potential. Could you imagine, Matt, if somebody said you had a meet and greet? Okay, Matt, we're gonna give you like $100, but you gotta sit here for 5 minutes and the dude's gonna yell at you and you can't say anything.
Yeah, I'll give him credit for trying to start up a company though. I will.
Yeah.
Also, Triple H and Nick Khan, they met with London Mayor Sadiq Khan to discuss the possibility of bringing WrestleMania to London now. My opinion.
Long overdue. You don't think that's overdue?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Vince never wanted to do it because, first of all, before the network, pay-per-view buys get affected by having a London show, which would air in the daytime in the U.S. Now, the Peacock deal, it's not a big of a deal anymore. And Nick Khan's all about that money. And if they get a bigger fee from London, a rights fee, than from another city, I totally could see Nick Khan doing it. And I don't think they would be publicizing this as much as they have been, this meeting, unless they're close to a deal or one's really far along in the works.
Yeah, 100%. You're correct.
So they got Vegas next year, Indianapolis in the future, Raj, and then possibly Raj, London.
Sorry about that. Raj, can they, with AEW, they did all in, they did 85,000 or 86, something like that, right? Or 87, something like that, right?
It was 81 sold and 72 through the turnstiles.
Okay. Is there a place that can hold more people than that in England?
No, no, it'd be Wembley.
It has to be Wembley's their biggest they have there?
Yeah, but if WrestleMania was there, they'd beat that. Because if you look at All In, there's a lot of open space. And
I would hope they would. I'd hope they'd beat it.
Yeah, I mean, they would have a bigger stage.
It'd be cool if it was like, not, yeah, this WrestleMania, actually. If you have Roman coming back.
Yeah, I mean, it's London, it's WrestleMania. I think it'd be one of those that I think would sell out pretty easily.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to go in the UK. You have to go out of London. Donington Park is the next one at 110. Then Glastonbury is a 210,000 outdoor venue. But that's more like a field.
Okay.
So yeah, Wembley's as big as it gets.
Was that second one you said? Was that outdoors too?
Donington Park, I believe it's also outdoor. Yeah.
Park, that's outdoor,
yeah. I mean, maybe if you went to like Brazil, some of the soccer stadiums are larger. Maybe. I don't know.
No, I just wanted to see them steal Tony record.
I mean, they would. I mean, with Mania.
I'm horrible.
Yeah, I mean, they'll claim more people were there.
Well, I'm sure they'd legit want to beat them, you know.
Of course they do. But at the same time, they're not like, again, their PR team is not wasting time or money to talk about Tony Khan's business dealings with networks. That's so stupid. They don't have the time for it. They're too busy. Oh, yeah, that's right. Getting their own stars over, which is what a PR department's job is. But, hey, before we go, because I know you got to do SmackDown tonight, Glenn. Yeah. Can I just for 2 seconds, if you guys don't mind, just wanted to bring up the, again, I think AEW, I know we're talking crappy at the beginning of the show, in the middle of the show, and now at the show. But got to give TK and AEW their flowers. I thought last week's Dynamite was good. I loved the show, actually. I actually watched the whole show and didn't want to not watch it for once. They continue to do a good job with the Tony Storm, Mariah May angle. Love that angle. It's probably like my top five favorite angles in the business right now, if I'm being honest. I love that angle. And then another women's angle, again, is probably creeping into my top five. Dr. Britt Baker versus Mercedes Moné. We had another advancement of that storyline now. Now they're off and cooking now with Moné as a heel. Even though I'll always keep reminding folks that was not the intent in the beginning, but it doesn't matter. That's where they are now. And they got it readjusted, and that's a cooking angle. I do like that. MJS promo was freaking fire as usual this past week with about Will Ospreay. Company is doing good as far as their storylines are better, I should say. The company's doing better than what they had been doing with these short-term storylines versus these long-term storylines. Mariah May did an interview the other day talking about TK coming to her and saying, look, this is going to be a very slow burn storyline. Mm-hmm. And she said she didn't know what that means. She didn't understand what that meant at first. He goes, it's going to be a long-term storyline. It's going to be a long-term angle with you and Tony. So the fact that that woman was able to, when you tell a wrestler that something that far out in advance, you can always count on the wrestler to want to fast forward it, especially if you're going to be the one that's going to be becoming a star out of this. And they shoot themselves in the foot by, like, think about it, the millions of times at those press scrums we saw Mariah May standing there and worshiping and doting all over Toni Storm, like she was like the best thing since sliced bread. She never flinched out of that character, not once. If you tell a wrestler, like, hey, you're going to become a big star out of this angle, but not about a year from now, usually that wrestler will screw it up somehow and start like giving little Easter eggs, secondhand glances at the talent when you're supposed to be worshiping the talent, which is what her angle was in the beginning, right? She's very talented. I'm very impressed with her and her patience of getting there and not rushing herself, and Tony for not rushing that angle and getting to where it was, because when they did what they did the other night on that pay-per-view, I did not see that coming. I'm sorry. I just did not. Mm-hmm. And it was I liked it.
Yeah, it was really well done. I thought it was the Tony, Mariah's heel turn. I thought it was the best angle that they've done all year. But I had mentioned I didn't like the follow-up the next week, but yes, I think they were back on track this week. And I thought there was a lot of good on Dynamite. I know one of the criticisms that's come out of it is that chair shot to the head.
That didn't need to happen. Also, really quick, I forgot to put over because I loved the Bryan Danielson sit down with what's her name there? What's her name? The interviewer there now, Renee. Did you watch
it? One thing I don't like about I did, but the one thing I don't like. I get this is a storyline. They got still a ways to go before they get to All In. Wembley. But yeah, to Wembley.
That you're giving it away that he's going to lose because he's retiring, right?
Well, I mean, it's almost like if you're putting him in that match, he almost should win to have that feel good moment. But what I don't like is coming out of that show on Wednesday, the match I don't want to see is not Swerve and Danielson. It's Swerve and Hangman. You know, like they made that like the hot feud. And Danielson's like, oh, ho-hum, maybe I should start getting my shit together. And you know what I mean? Like, whereas, you know, but when Swerve and Hangman got in the ring, like where the crowd was going crazy when that happened. So it just doesn't feel like that's the real main, you know, like that's the biggest match for Swerve.
That was the real Bryan Danielson. Biggest pay-per-view. I agree. That was a real Bryan Danielson that you guys all saw. He's such a happy guy, such a nice guy. And that was him, authentically him in that interview, which I liked because if you watched it again, I had to watch it twice. Because when Jeff Jarrett came in, I'm like, I love Jeff. So anything he's a part of, I'm usually a fan of because he's my boy. But I'm like, oh, I don't think this works here. Why are they having Jeff interrupt this? And then where they went with it, I did like that. And it kind of looked like it plugged something in Danielson's head that he needs to go absolutely apeshit in order to, you know, do what he wants to do at Wembley and beat Swerve. And you could see the gear shift in his eyes, in my opinion, his facial expressions. Exactly. After that,
the Adrian
right. Promo. Yes, Rocky yes, 3. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's exactly it, actually. But one last thing. The Hangman, he's so talented. I love his work. I'm just sick of him and Swerve. I am. Yeah. I don't need to see it again. I don't. I'm good.
I would just keep him apart while we're doing this dance.
Yes. 100% yes, I agree with you. Yes.
See, you know what's interesting? I was thinking about this record thing. If WWE wanted the largest attendance record, I didn't realize this. There are a dozen stadiums in America that have a capacity of just a little over 100,000. Like, this is there for the taking.
So you got to remember when you put that stage in, that cuts out like 20 right. 20 plus thousand.
Well, but the stage they're talking, these are football fields. There's a playing field already. In fact, they could add more seats because they could put people on the floor. as well. I mean, the largest stadium in the world is in India. Narendra Modi Stadium is 132,000. But in the U.S., in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Texas, Louisiana, Tennessee, Alabama, they've got 100,000 plus options if they want the record.
I don't. Yeah. Why aren't they doing it, Raj?
Well, again, the WrestleMania 32, you know, if you look at actual turnstile numbers, they do have the record with that. WrestleMania 3 is a disputed number, but you know, again, I do think if they want to scale down their set, because that set, you know, kills off a lot. I was at WrestleMania 32 and that place was packed. And for them to, you know, not have a legit 100, even though the floor is filled, you know, the rafters are filled, and all you have is that stage. It just shows how much, you know, just how many tickets that stage kills.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the stage is cool and all, but I think it's been so overdone for so many years now that I don't think you have to have it as much. I mean, especially if you're trying to set a record for one time, I don't think it's the end of the world for them to do it. Wait, you went to Dallas?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was in Dallas.
Lucky.
Yeah.
God, it's my favorite football team, and I've never been to their stadium.
That day sucked though, because the ticket readers weren't working outside the stadium. So all these people like burning up. A couple people were fainting. They had to get medical personnel. It was like hours. It wasn't until like halfway through the pre-show that a lot of the people even got in.
Other than that,
it was cool.
We got a few minutes before Glenn's got to bounce. I see. Do we have any super chats that we missed? Are we good?
Did not.
Okay.
No. We did have a lot of chats, and we'll try to get more in the future. We just had to start a little late, so apologies for that, guys.
Good though, man. 500 people watching live. Nice.
And folks that are in the chat, if you see this, even if you see this on replay, I check comments. We're succeeding in having our show every Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. But if there's a different day and time that you all think, you know, you'd like to see, just throw some ideas out there as well, please, in the comment section.
We'll give this a minute because it doesn't need more than that. But man, that new season of Cobra Kai, huh? Those five episodes.
Fucking sucks.
Everyone's
going to hate me for saying that, but I'm sorry. Okay. It sucks.
Here's what I didn't like. The stuff with Daniel and Johnny is going in a circle right now. Like we've seen this a dozen times before. Yeah. But they're messing with the Miyagi backstory. But I don't know if you guys caught this. I only caught it because it was on last night. So Mr. Miyagi in the Karate Kid, the original three movies, is Narioshi Miyagi. And they found that passport of him as Keisuke Miyagi. That's the name that he used in the next Karate Kid. And I only say this because the next Karate Kid was on last night on cable. So this is setting up Hilary Swank making a cameo in the next batch of episodes to connect the dots on Mr. Miyagi's past.
I can see that.
Okay, I can see that. I just the corny stuff that they do with the kids and that's corniness. No offense to the kids, I don't give a crap about any of those kids. I'm just gonna be honest. I don't. The storylines, I don't care. I care about Johnny, and I'm trying to care about Johnny. He's making it impossible for me to want to care about Johnny. He goes to buy a house and he's being a complete prick. And then the same day he calms down a little bit. And the lesson is, see what happens, Johnny, when you're able to keep your cool, good things happen. Like, what is this, an ABC after school special? This is corny, cheesy crap.
Well, I miss the season one stuff with Johnny. I think it's unfortunate they abandoned. Johnny had a very good storyline in season one as a man out of time.
He did.
A man who did not progress with society.
Yes.
And the more, you know, Daniel didn't need to have as much of a presence in the show. His story was kind of done in the first three movies.
Yeah. But
the more they added in the kid's storyline and then Kreese and all this other stuff, it's like Johnny's storyline has really taken a back seat. And now it's like, okay, this is just now, It's no longer interesting because it's gone pushed the boundaries of believability.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen. We should talk more about it next week.
We will.
I know we got to get running because I have some thoughts on that as well. Yes. Real quick, Kevin McGeegan with a $10 super chat. Longtime fan of the three of you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Good to see you three doing a show together again. Thank you, Kevin. And please, everyone, also please take a second. hit that subscribe button, hit the like on this video. It really does help us out. And yeah. Leave a comment. As Matt mentioned earlier, we try to respond to as many as we can. So definitely leave a comment, and we definitely appreciate you guys.
And if you guys like Cobra Kai season 6, please let us know, because I'm curious if anyone is actually thinks this is them doing their peak work. It is not. It was nice to see Paul Walter Hauser, but you could tell they had him for half a day, so they shot that scene.
Yep, that was pretty funny. But
yeah. Okay, cool. Everybody, have a great weekend. Matt's at BP, Matt Morgan, Roger's at the Raj Giri, and Matt Klein Rubenstein. Take care. Catch you next time on Gigantic Pop.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.